Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Tanya Kavosei the Rava. In the previous shiur, we had learned that Rava had differentiated between Anpilya Shel Or, leather footwear, versus Anpilya Shel Beged, a footwear made out of material. And the Gemara brings a brisa that corroborates such a distinction. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei the Rava, the brisa says, Cholza ben minal hanifra, shechoifa es roiv haregel. If somebody had done chalitza with a shoe that covered most of the foot, besandal hanifchas, with a sandal that was missing, shemekablos roiv haregel. And as Rashi points out, that the appropriate terminology for a sandal is nifram, and the appropriate terminology for a appropriate terminology for minhal is nifram, and the appropriate terminology for sandal is nifchas, given the way they are built. The sandal shall sham v'shal siv. These are hard, artificial materials. They're not really a material made, not a leather material. The kav hakiteya is something we'll discuss more on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, but it's a stump. Rachman Otzlan, if somebody who's an amputee, in those days they used to make a false leg. If a woman did chalitza by taking off the man's kav hakiteya, b'moik, something we'll discuss more in tomorrow's shiur. B'moik is a felt material. So it's a material made from an animal, but it's a felt versus a leather. The smichas haraglayim, which are such supports, again, that an amputee wore, that he used to drag himself with if he had to get somewhere. The anpilya shel or is a leather sack. V'chaletzas min agodl. And if somebody receives chalitza from a godl, it makes no difference Ben Oymed, Ben Yoshe, Ben Moita, whether he's standing, sitting, or leaning, something we'll discuss also later, is acceptable. Tosfos discusses why would we think that chalitza has to be done standing, that the Braisa has to teach us that it's acceptable when it's sitting, when the person is sitting or leaning. So Tosfos says two reasons. One is because the Pasuk says, because as we're going to learn again in tomorrow's shiur, that chalitza is similar to a gemar din. Chalitza is similar to a psak that Bezdin is giving. And the halach is that when Bezdin gives the psak, the toiveya and the nitva have to stand. So therefore we would think that during chalitza, they have to stand. Another reason is because the Tosuk uses the word v'omdu. So we think that v'omdu is specific, that you have to stand. Teaches us the braisa that although we would think so, amid is not required. Hacheletzes menasuma. If the Yavam, who's giving chalitza, Rachman Tzlam, blind, and all of these cases, chalitzasuk shera. Tosfos discusses why we would think that a blind person's chalitza should be disqualified. So Tosfos says, since the Pasuk says that the woman, for Yarka, she spits le'ena hezekenim in front of the Bezdin, so just like the Bezdin has to be able to see the saliva exiting her mouth, perhaps the same halacha should apply to the Yavam, and therefore if he's blind, he's disqualified. Or, Taisha says another possibility we would think why it has to be, why we would think a blind person is disqualified, because the Pasuk says, V'yorka b'fonov, so since it says b'fonov, one may think b'fonov means le'enov, that he has to see the saliva. That's what the Braisa says, that even if the Yavam doesn't see the saliva, the chalitza is kosher. And before we go further, there's a fundamental machloikus rishonim that our Braisa that we just learned mentioned a number of situations where we would think that the chalitza is not acceptable. Teaches us the Braisa chalitzosuk sheira. Machloikus rishonim, how to define chalitzosuk sheira. Is it sheira b'di'eved? L'chatchilus chalitza should not be done in one of these ways. It's only kosher b'di'eved. There's some rishonim that say that all of these issues that the Braisa just raised, chalitzasuk sheira, even l'chatchila, Why does the Braisa use the word Kshera, which seems to indicate only b'di'evad the geheter? Because since the next part of the Braisa, which we're about to learn, discusses where the Chalitza is not even kosher b'di'evad, so to stay consistent, the Braisa uses that time, that type of terminology. But actually, those Rishonim would say that all these cases, it's kosher l'chatchila. Ava b'mina hanifram sh'ena chayfas v'regel. If we have a shoe that ripped, that doesn't cover most of the foot, b'sandal hanifchas sh'ena makabel s'roiv haregel, u'b'smichas ha'yadayim, again, our amputee, Rechmon Otzlan, who never has to drag himself. So they used to put, he used to drag himself with his hands. So in order to avoid his hands getting scratched up, they would put such covers over his hands, gloves or protection. U'mampilya shabeged, a sack made out of material, v'chaletzes min ha'cotton, of somebody has chalitza from a cotton, in all these cases, chalitzasa psula. And here too, there's a machlokes rishonim, how far to say chalitzasa psula. Some rishonim learn, as it seems to indicate, chalitzasa psula means that the chalitza is meaningless. Some rishonim say that the chalitza is meaningless to the extent that the woman has to have chalitza again. However, this woman will never be qualified for yibam. That means, once the woman receives one of these invalid chalitzas, and though chalitza has to be repeated, she's no longer a candidate for yibam, not from the brother who gave the disqualified chalitza, nor from any other brothers. This woman is now only a candidate for chalitza. The Gemara continues, Kav Hakiteya. The Braisa said that the stump, the wooden stump that is worn by an amputee can be considered a shoe, and if the woman removes that kav hakiteya, then the person is, it's considered a valid chalitza. I saw a very interesting chassidish shavart, not really that relevant to the Gemara, but it's a nice shavart anyway. The Svarim say, Chassidish Svarim say, Kiteya, we know means, like we said, an amputee, somebody who's cut down. The word Kav is the same gematria as Amuna. If somebody, Rachman Litzlan, is in a status of Kiteya, he's broken. He could be, Kiteya means broken. He could be broken physically, he could be broken emotionally. What should the person do to strengthen himself? He should get a Kav. You should have a muna. If somebody will have a muna, then all of his tzaras will not be that problematic. But going back to Masech the Yevamos, Kav Kiteya, who's the man, the Omer, that says that Kav Kiteya is considered a shoe? Remeihi. It represents the position of Remeia. The Tanan, a Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Hakiteya Yoitz B'Kav Shaloi, a person who's missing his foot, may wear this fake foot, and as Rashi explains, even though the Gemara explained in the previous shir, Vanal Chatachash, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk that seems to indicate that only a shoe made out of leather is considered a shoe, Kamash Malon, that Rameya disagrees, Rameya holds that a shoe made even out of another material is considered a valid shoe, and that's why if somebody removes, if Chalitza, the woman removes that wooden shoe, so to speak, it's considered a valid chalitza. Rabbi Yossi says that a non-leather shoe, again, Rashi's explanation, is not considered a shoe. Ask the Gemara. The Braisa continued. Bampelia Shabeged, if one used a sack made out of material, it would be a disqualified chalitza. Osin l'rabonim. So Gemara is asking a question. The Reisha that says Kaf Hikiteya is a kosher chalitza represents the opinion of Rameya that doesn't require a leather shoe. The Sefer that says an Empelio Shabeged is a disqualified chalitza represents the Shita of Rabbanan that don't require a leather shoe. How do we reconcile this Braisa? Amar Abaya, mid the Sefer Rabbanan, if we have to explain that the Sefer, which disqualifies an Apelya Shel Beged, represents the opinion of the Rabbanon, we have to say that the Reisha is Nami Rabbanon. Aye, so how come the Reisha says the Kavi Kiteya is a kosher Chalitza? It's referring to Reisha B'mchupa Or, that although he has this wood stump, it's covered by leather, and therefore since it's covered by leather, it's a kosher Chalitza. Omale Rava, so Rava says now, the way we're understanding the Braisa, Aval E'mchupa Or, if we had a Kavi Kiteya, but it didn't have this leather covering, Mai, what would be the halacha puzzle? It would be disqualified chalitza. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi added the Sani Sefer, Ben Pelya Shel Beged, when the Sefer wants to give us examples of disqualified chalitzas. It speaks about the sack made out of material. It could have told us a different thing. Lifled b'dido. The Braisa should have made the following distinction. The medva mamurim. When is a kafikiteya, a kosher chalitza, the mechupar, if it's covered with leather? Aval a mechupar, if it's not covered with leather? Pasul. So if pshat in the reisha is that it has to be covered by leather, so the Braisa should have said in the seifa that if it's not covered by leather, it's disqualified. El Amar Rava, therefore Rava has a different understanding of the Braisa. Mid the Reisha Rameya, if we explain that the Reisha represents the opinion of Rameya, and therefore even though it's not a leather shoe, it's kosher for Chalitza, Seifa Nami Rameya. Seifa is also Rameya. According to Rameya, and if we just explained Rameya doesn't require a leather shoe, why is it Apilio Shabeged, possible for Chalitza? Says the Gemara, Hi Megan, for Hi Loi Megan. This kavikiteya serves as a real protection. It serves like a real shoe, even though it's not made out of leather. Therefore, it's kosher for chalitza. A sack doesn't serve the same purpose as a shoe, and therefore, even though Rameya doesn't require leather shoes, this has a different reason why it's possible. Says the Gemara, Omer Abat Neimer, Hayman the Cholitz, someone who does chalitza, the man who the chalitza is being performed on, Tzorach Lemitchasei Leragli. He has to put his foot down tight on the floor. And there's a machlokes rishonim. Why? The Rosh seems to learn that a Meimer had halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, that part of the chalitza process is that the shoe has to be tight on the floor, and like that the woman has to remove it from his foot. Other rishonim learn, and it's going to fit into the Gemara we're going to learn, that typically nobody has a chalitza shoe. The only one that has a chalitza shoe is Beis Din. And as we'll learn, they give it to the Yavam that when he needs it for chalitza. So since they don't make chalitza shoes made to fit, there's one size fits all. So it's not going to be a perfect fit on the Yavam's foot. So it may come off too easily. It may be bigger than his foot. So then it won't be a chalitza. Chalitza means that she removes the shoe. How can we be sure that even if the shoe is too large for the Yavam's foot, she's removing it? It's not just slipping off by him holding on tight. It's interesting. The Paiskim say that there's a Seyd Chalitza. The Shulchan Aruch brings down a Seyd Chalitza. There's some fascinating halachas there. And one of the things that it says there is that the way the Yavam should stand during the Chalitza is he should lean against the wall with his foot tight on the floor, and that's how she should remove his foot. Omlei, Ravashi Lameima, as Ravashi Lameimer, Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa that we began today's shiur with, Bein Oimid, Bein Yoshe, Bein Moita, that the Chalitza could be formed, whether the Yavam is standing, sitting, or leaning. So where Rosh Rishonim, the Meiri explains the Gemara, if he's sitting, then obviously he can't put his, or leaning, he can't put his foot very tightly on the floor. So how is he Mekayim Ameimer's Halacha? Amalei Rav Ashila, Amalei, Ema ul oilam the dachas lakari. Even when he's leaning or sitting, he could still put his foot down tight. Although the Meiri, and again, as I said, the Seyda Chalitza does not say this, but the Meiri says from here we see that even though Amema says he has to put his foot on the floor, he doesn't have to put it that tight, because obviously somebody who's leaning can never really get his foot strongly put on the floor. Vamra Amema. Says a Meimer, Hai man de miski alitasi de kari. Rechmon al-Tzlon, somebody has his foot, the bottom of his foot, inverted. The top is on the bottom is on the top. Lord Cholitz. he's not a candidate for chalitza. Omalei Rav Ashi Lameimer, V'tanya, then we learn in the Brice that we began today's shiur with, Smuchas Hargayim, my Lavdoi B'chilitz Il, isn't that a raya that even when the person Nebuch doesn't have a foot and he doesn't have it the right way, he still can have chalitza? Says the Gemara, the loy, the yavle la'ach v'cholitz, but he doesn't have chalitza that way. Omer of Ashi, the ma'ida kama ameima, according to what ameima says, lav bar uba chalitz v'lav bar kif of chalitz. If you'll recall, we learned the Gemara Masechta Moikotin. The Gemara Masechta Moikotin says that Rav Ashi asked these two people. These two people were professional hespit sellers. They're professional people that said eulogies. So he asked them, what are you going to say by my levaya? And he got offended by what they said. And because he got offended, he cursed them. And they got disease that their foot should be inverted. So these people, based on what Amayma says, cannot qualify to say, to do a chalitza. We learned, me'akuva lamata. As long as the person has from the knee and lower, he's a candidate for chalitza. For minu, regolim, the pasuk there is speaking about the sholosh regolim, that the Torah tells us three times a year all of us have to go up to Yerushalayim, and the pasuk says, prat lebalikabin, that a person who's missing from the knee and lower is not mechuyev, is not obligated to do aliyah leregel. So we see that the regolim in if that part is missing, if below the knee is missing, he doesn't have the reglayim. Says the Gemara, Shani Hocha Diksimi Al Ragloi. The Torah says that the Chalitza Dami Al Ragloi says even at the area above the Ragloi means the foot, and the Al Ragloi means the area from the knee to the foot. And even that area is the kosher to have the Chalitza. So if the person has his foot from the knee and up, he is a candidate for Chalitza. Ask the Gemara, even if he has the area from his missing, the area from his knee to his thigh, he should also be a candidate, because we don't really need reglayim like we need by aliyah regel. Answers the Gemara, me'al v'loy me'al r'mal. The pasuk says me'al ragloy. The area above his foot is still considered the foot. The area above that area is not considered the foot. Omer Rab Papa. Shmam nohai estaria. Estaria is the ankle. At aranochis. What the Gemara is saying is that the ankle is not considered a separate area from the foot, but the ankle and the foot are considered one bone. Disalgadaitach mifsuk posuk. If we're going to suggest that the ankle is considered separate from the foot, havle iyum al. So then when the pasuk says mi'al ragloi is still a kosher chalitza, what we'll say is as long as the person, anything above the ankle is still a kosher chalitza. But our Mishnah says you don't have to have above the ankle. The Mishnah says you can have up to the knee. And v'shoykoi have le'iyu ma'al, v'shoykoi ma'al mi'al. So alamai, it's a raya we have that the ankle and the foot is one area. The next area is the area from the knee to the ankle. And the third area is from the thigh to the knee. So when the pasuk tells us that we don't have to have ragloi, we can even have mi'al ragloi, what is the pasuk coming to teach us? That not only the area of the foot is kosher for chalitza, the area above below the knee is also kosher. If the ankle would be considered a distinct area, then we would only be able to have anywhere from the ankle and below. Om Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi is not prepared to say that the ankle and the foot are indeed one bone. He says, afilu tamei mifsa pasuk. Even if you'll say that the joint that separates the ankle from the foot makes it into two areas, called the Bahadi Karo Kikaradam. Since when one looks at the foot, he sees the ankle and the foot as one area, even though below the skin, the two separate areas, the halacha considers it one area. Ask the Gemara, Menakuva Lamala, Moser of Kahana, Ubashilyosa Hayoitsis Mebein Regleha. The Gemara is now going to bring a series of questions that seem to prove that the area, even by the thigh, is considered ragleho. And therefore the Gemara is asking, why is only the area below the knee an area kosher for chalitza? The area above the knee, not kosher for chalitza, as we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara before. Even that area, if the pasuk calls it ragleho, should be considered an area where chalitza can be done. Because the pasuk says, it's a pasuk in Techocho, b'shoyosa ayoyetz m'ben regleel, amra baya, b'shoa shekaras leilet, when a woman is about to go into childbirth, ne'etzes akfer b'yakuseho, she raises her feet, v'yoledes, and that's how she has the child. And that's why it looks like one area, when indeed it's separate. Taner abo, toshma, another pasuk. The pasuk here is describing Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, we know, was a son of Shaul, and he was very upset about David HaMelech having to have to run away by when Avshalom was trying to rebel against him. And the pasuk says the entire time that David was on the run, Le'os Raglov, we learned the Gemara once, means that he did not cut the hair in his private area. So we see that Raglov refers to the area of the thigh. And says the Gemara, Lishtam Alya. Really, Raglayim, that area is not called Raglayim. Just the Pasuk uses those words to speak about in a nicer way. Actually, the Paiskim discuss, I think we might have discussed this once, if it's mutter for a man to cut that area, that the hair in that area, if there's no issue of Loisilbash. So, the two answers that I saw in the Paiskim, how Mephibosheth could have cut that area if there's an issue of Loisilbash. One answer I saw is, it depends on the minig hamokim, it depends on what the general custom is. If it's generally accepted that men cut the hair in that area, then it's not an usur. In the place where Mephibosheth lived in those times, that was the general custom. Another pshat that I saw is that the isur to cut that area's hair is only with a razor. With a scissor, it's only usur midrabbanan, because you can never really get all the hair out when you're cutting it with a scissor. The issur to cut it even with a scissor is only midrabbanan, but the gzeirah midrabbanan was not yet in place in the time of Mephibosheth. Tashma, the yavashah lahasach es raglov. There the pasuk says, just to review the parasha, Shaul and David ended up in the same cave, Shaul not being aware that David was there, and when Shaul got up to urinate, it says lahasach es raglov, again the area by the thigh. Again says the Gemara Lishtama Alya. Toshma, another pasuk in Nach. There the pasuk is referring to Egloin. Egloin was a melech who Ehud, the Navi, came to warn that he would be killed. And actually what happened was he closed the door, and while Egloin was in the room, he killed him. And then Ehud escaped, and the people, Egloin's attendants didn't go in, says the pasuk, because they thought, ach mesechu raglov, perhaps he's using the bathroom, and that's why they can't disturb him. B'chada makira, again, answers the Gemara, lishnam alya. It refers to a nicer language, even though the area of Raglayim is not that area. Bein ragleha, again, an episode in Nach, which we'll discuss a little more. Yael wanted to kill Sisroi, so she seduced him to do an aveir with her, to have relations with her. And the pasuk says, Bein Ragleha, says the Gemara, Lishnam Alya. And the Aruch Haner just learns Pshat in the Gemara, because he asks two questions. One question is, the Gemara asks the same question a number of times, and keeps on giving the same tarot, it's Lishtam Alya. It's a nice language. Why do we have to keep on saying it again and again? Another question he asks, if we follow the order of psukim that the Gemara asked the kashas from, they're not in the order as they appear in Nach. So the Gemara should have followed their proper sequence in Tanakh. So he says, we'll say it quickly, the first pasuk, b'shoyosa yoytzim ben regla, besides it's a pasuk in the Torah, there, as the Gemara explained, that's how the woman looks when she has childbirth. The next pasuk refers to Mephibosheth, who did a very admirable thing. Even though he was Shaul HaMelech's son, David HaMelech's adversary, still how he commiserated with David HaMelech, and we know that Mephibosheth was a tzaddik. The next pasuk is referring to Shaul, that although he was at battle with David HaMelech, we know that Shaul was a great tzaddik. The next pasuk is talking about Eglon. Eglon was a melech It was a guy. So perhaps there the Pasuk wouldn't use the word Lishtim Alya. Shows us that since, this is the way that Noruch Haner explains it, since we know Rashi says it, and I think it's Gemara also, that Eglon did show respect to the Shem Hashem, when Ehud came and he said, Yeshli Loima, I have something to say in the name of Hashem, he immediately got up in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if he was a terrible king, he did something that showed Kvod Shemayim, and that's why the Pasuk uses Lishtim Alya. And then the next pasuk, which we just are now going to discuss, is by Yael. That the Gemara will begin to describe. It's hard to understand how what Yael did should be considered a mitzvah. She had relations with Sisroi, and says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva be'ilois bo'al oisa rosha. They had relations 7 times by oisa yoyim. Shenemar, bein raglea kora nofal shochav, bein raglea kora nofal, bashakora shanofal shedud. And we count, you'll have the word shochav and korah 7 times. Ask the Gemara. V'kamas anyama aveira. So the way Tosfos, and actually I saw Rabbi Saul Salanter spends time explaining the Tosfos, explains the Gemara's question. Yael certainly didn't do an aveira. Because the Gemara says, in Masechet Megillah, that when Achashverosh had relations with Esther, how could Esther go back to Mordechai? Karka oilam. She didn't do anything. He had relations and she didn't do anything. But what the Gemara's question asked Tosfos is, how could we give, and how could the Pasuk praise Yael so much? At the end of the day, as the Gemara just taught us, she had relations, illicit relations, 7 times with Sisroi. So fine, it's not an Aveira, but how could we call it something praiseworthy? Answers the Gemara. Om Rab Yochanan Shim Rab Shim Ben Yochai. Kol Taivasan Shurishoim Roy Eitzel Tzadikim. When a Rosh does something good, Tzadikim don't really consider it good. Shenema, where do we find this? Hisham Lecha Pentadaba Yaakov Mitoy Vad Ra. Lovin, we remember the parasha, chasing after Yaakov as Yaakov leaves his home, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Lovin and tells Lovin, don't say anything. Toy Vad Ra. Bishlam Ra. So we can understand, Lachai, it's very understandable why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning Lavan not to say anything bad to Avram, to Yaakov. Ela toy v'may loy. Why does it bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Lavan should say something nice? El shmami no. Toy v'osan shal rishoyim. What rishoyim think is good, roy itzal tzadik. So the Gemara continues. Bishlam ha'hosom. We can understand why Lavan may think something is good when it's actually bad. Lovin thinks that the Avodah Zorah is something great, and he'll speak to Yaakov about the Avodah Zorah. If we recall the parasha in the Torah, that's exactly what happened. Rachel had at that point, when they left Lovin's home, taken the Trophim, taken the Avodah Zorah of Lovin. What is the bed here? Says the Gemara, the Koshadei Bezuma. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, the Tzadikim, Klal Yisrael, not just the Tzadikim, because of Matan Torah, they have in them an affinity and a netiya. They lean more to doing good versus bad. Rishoyim don't have that. And that element that is in the Rishoyim would enter Yael's body. So as the Rishol Salanta says of Mari de Gavart in explaining this Gemara, many times the Gemara says that an Aveira Lishma is equal or greater than to a mitzvah. But says the Rishol Salanter, an Aveira Lishma is a very high madrega, but it really has to be Lishma. Otherwise, don't do Averis. So he says, here we have Yael doing what looks like an Aveira. So although her intent was very admirable, because this is the way that she could ultimately kill Sisroi, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, to be sure that what she did is truly lishma, and that the pasuk says benoshim ba'oil tavayrach, the pasuk gives her a bracha. We have to be careful that it should really be good. I saw a very nice fart. Rashi says back in Parshas Lech Lecha regarding Avram Avinu, the pasuk says mekalelcha oirach. That the tzaddikim speak by bracha before klala. Why? Because the natural intention of a tzaddik is to give a bracha. Sometimes, with no choice, he gives a klala. By rasha, it's just the opposite. A rasha prefers to give klalas. Sometimes, with no choice, he'll give you a bracha. Tevasam shel tzaddikim. Let's look at the difference between the tevasam shel tzaddikim and the tevasam shel rishoim. The tevasam shel tzaddikim is their natural intent is to give brachas. The tevasam shel tzaddikim, their natural rishoim, their natural intent is to give klalas. When the Nachash had relations with Chava, we go back to Rashi in Parashas Bereishis. The pasuk says that when Adam confronted Chava, he says, what happened? He says, the Nachash hissi'ani. So the Mefarshim explained the word hissi'ani is from Lashon Nesu'in. They, so to speak, as best as we could understand, had relations. So B'shah Sheba Nachash al Chava Hitaba Zuma. This Yetzahara became prevalent in their DNA, in their physical makeup. Yisrael Sh'amdol Har Sinai Pasku Azumosam. By Har Sinai, Kla Yisrael, that Zuma went away. Oiv D'Kachavim Shloi Omdu B'Har Sinai. However, the Akum did not participate in Kabbalah of Torah, Shloi Pasku Zumosam. So the Kedis Yitzchak explains. He says, Pshat in the Gemara goes as follows. He says, a person was born 50-50. He could do good or he could do bad. But what happened during the Aveira with the Nochosh and Parshas Bereishis, as the Gemara says, Hitl by Zuma, the natural leaning of a person became that he should do bad versus good. By Kabbalah Satoira, and he's Medayik in the Gemara doesn't say Bishosha Kiblu as Satoira. It says Bishosha Omdol Har Sinai. So he asks, it wasn't Maimon Har Sinai that made the difference. It was Kabbalah Satoira that made the difference. So why did the Gemara say B'shosh Amdol Har Sinai? He says what was significant of Maimon Har Sinai was that Klal Yisrael made the right choice versus all the other Goyim of the world. We know the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Torah to all the Goyim of the world. They refused and we accepted. We made the right choice by saying Nasa V'Nishma. So we tilted the scale. What we did at that time was we changed our direction. Until Kabbalah Satoira, the natural direction of all human beings was to do bad rather than doing good. Klal Yisrael, when they said Nasa V'Nishma, changed that course. They changed the course that now the natural direction of a Jew is to do good, is to do the right thing. That happened by Maimon Har Sinai, but that only affected Klal Yisrael, no one else. Continues the Gemara. Chotzer B'Minishol Eina Shaloi. If they used a shoe that doesn't belong to the Yavam, it's disqualified. It's Tanar Abonim. Naloi. Ainly Ella Naloi, his own shoe. Naloi shall call Odominayim. How do we know we could use even a shoe that he doesn't own? Tamaloima Nal Mikom Mokim. Any shoe is acceptable. Imkein Ma Tamaloima Naloi. What do we learn from the word Naloi? Naloi Haroiloi. The shoe has to fit. Pratla godl shen yochel lalach boy, a shoe that's too big, or pratla cotton shen choif roi vragloi, or a shoe that's too small, or pratla sandalam salayim shen lay akif, a shoe that's missing a heel. Rashi says they used to have a special type of shoe called musulayim, which represents a style that doesn't have a heel. I sort of ask Ms. Yosef in Masech Kedushin asks a very obvious question. We have the word naloi. And the word naloi something is certainly coming to exclude something. It can either come to exclude a shoe that you don't own, or it can exclude a shoe that doesn't fit. So our Gemara is quoting a brisa that's teaching us that the naloi excludes a shoe that doesn't fit, but it doesn't exclude a shoe that isn't yours. So ask that's Mr. Yosef, maybe we should say just the opposite. Maybe naloi excludes a shoe that's not yours and includes a shoe that doesn't fit. So he says a very yeshiva shavart. He says, a shoe that doesn't fit is not a shoe. A shoe that's not yours is a shoe. But a shoe that doesn't fit is not a shoe. Therefore, when the pasuk, when I have to choose, what should I say the pasuk is excluding, it makes more sense to say that the pasuk is excluding a shoe that doesn't fit versus a shoe that you don't own. Abaye have a koi kamei de Rabbi Yosef. Abaye was sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef. Also Yivama lachlitz. A Yivama came to do a chalitza. Omle havle sandlach. So Rabbi Yosef told Abaye, give me your sandal so we could do chalitza with your sandal. Yovle sandal of the smol. So way the Oruch Ner, based on Rashi, explains the Gemara as follows. We learned in our Mishnah, the lechatchila, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, you shouldn't do chalitza on the left foot. So when Rabbi Yosef saw Abaye, when Abaye saw Rabbi Yosef asking him for his shoe, Abaye wanted to hint, it's Rabbi Yosef, but he wanted to hint to him, perhaps you're making a mistake by asking me to give him my shoe, which is inappropriate. You're supposed to use a shoe that belongs to the Yavam. But he didn't want to say it explicitly to Rabbi Yosef. That would be a lack of proper respect. So by speaking about the left shoe, that's how he would remind Rabbi Yosef. And again, as the Aruch HaNer says, because we find that many times in Shas, that Rabbi Yosef forgot his learning. So Abaye, again, with Derech Eretz, want to remind him, perhaps you forgot Halacha. Amalei, Eimed Amar Rabbonon, the Yevid. When the Rabbonon say you could use the left shoe, the Yevid. L'chatchila mi Amar. L'chatchila, is it kosher? Amalei, Hochel, Sandal Sheina Shaloi. That Chazal said you're allowed to use a shoe that doesn't belong to the Yavam. Name it the Amar Rabbonin. When did Rabbonin say it can be used? Only the Eved, L'chetchila mi Amar. Amle hocha kamin aloch, havle v'aknile. Of course I meant L'chetchila, you should give the shoe. Not just give the shoe, lend the shoe. You should actually be makna, you should sell the shoe to the Yavam, that it should be his. So the Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. We began the Gemara with a Braisa, that the Braisa says the shoe doesn't have to belong to the Yavam. And then we finished the piece of the Gemara where Rabbi Yosef tells Abaye, I meant that you should sell the shoe to the Yavam, that it should be yours. Why? It doesn't have to be his shoe. Didn't the Braisa teach us that? So there's a Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Some Rishonim say what he meant was that sell him the shoe and if you'll give him the shoe, he'll make sure that it fits properly. Because although he doesn't have to own the shoe has to fit properly. But Ritva learns a very big chiddush. It's relevant la aloch lemaisa in many areas in the Torah. He says, if we read the words of the Torah, na'aloi, let's define the word na'aloi. So how would we all define the word na'aloi? His shoe. So yes, we have a Gemara that teaches us that's not what na'aloi means. That na'aloi means it has to fit. He doesn't have to own it. But Chazal were careful to always follow the posh, the pshat in the pasuk, even if that's not the halacha. And therefore, if we have a pasuk that says the word na'aloi, even though Chazal teaches it doesn't necessarily mean his shoe, Chazal wanted us to follow the simple definition of the words. Where do we find such another concept in halacha? I saw another place as follows. It says in the Torah that the aravos have to be arve nochal. The aravos that grow by water, by the nachal, by the stream. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara Masech the Sukkah describes this, that you don't have to have aravos that grow by a nachal. Still, there are rishonim, and there are people that are machmer, to buy aravos that grow by a stream. I, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch say that you don't have to have aravos that grow by the nachal. Still, the Torah says the words Arve Nachal. So yes, we have Baruch Hashem the Gemara that tells us it doesn't have to be. But we should always try to follow the simple meaning of what it says in the Torah. So here the Gemara says that what is supposed to be done, what's supposed to be done is that as we said earlier in the Shir, typically a Yavam doesn't have the proper shoe that we do Chalitza with. Bezdin, actually, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that Bezdin has certain equipment. One of the equipment of a Bezdin, of a valid Bezdin, is that I have a Chalitza shoe in their possession, that if they should have to do Chalitza, they have the Chalitza shoe available. In fact, I even saw a Paiskin that say that a real proper Bezdin has three Chalitza shoes, three different sizes, for different size feet of the Yavam. Even though I never saw that in a Bezdin, but they have a Chalitza shoe. And the halacha is that when the Yavam comes to do a Chalitza, Bezdin is makna to the Yavam, the shoe, that it should be his. As our Gemara says, the shoe should belong to the Yavam during the Chalitza. Although I did see Paiskim that want to discuss, and question, is that necessary? Because the halacha is, again, Baruch Hashem, we don't live in such times, but it used to be very common that not everybody had their own esrig, their own dalaminim. The kehillah had one or two esrigim, and everybody would use those dalaminim on sukkahs. The halacha is that you don't have to have somebody from the kehillah, you don't have to have the president of the shul being makna the esrig, the dalaminim, to every participant. Here, do you have to have the same? So the Pesach can say there it's very different. Because there, how was the esrig of the community bought? Everybody participated in the communal funds, and therefore the esrig was bought with those funds, so we're really all partial owners in the esrig. However, when it comes to the shoe that Bezdin owns, the Yavim shoe, we didn't participate in Bezdin buying that shoe. The Bezdin or the Rav have that shoe, and therefore it's not just enough that the Bey should give you the Yavim, the shoe to put on, they have to actually be maknet to him. That's part of the process, what happens by Chalitza. Sandal Shalates. We learned that a Sandal Shalates is kosher for Chalitza. Man Tana, who's the Tana that says it's kosher? Amr Shmuel Rameyahi. It represents the sheet of Rameyah. The Tanana Kiteya Yoitz B'Kavshalai Div Rameyah. As we learned at the beginning of Shir, Rameyah holds that even a shoe not made out of leather is a kosher shoe. Rabbi Yossi Oyser. Rabbi Yossi says it has to be a leather shoe. Says the Gemara, Avu de Shmuel Oim Rabbi Mchupar. Again, this price is not necessarily, this mission is not necessarily a proof that we need a leather shoe. Even a non-leather shoe is kosher because it's mechupa or it's talking about a case where it's covered with leather and it represents the rehakoil that's called a leather shoe. Machlokes rishonim, where is it covered with leather? On the inside or on the outside? And this is halach lemaisa, very relevant again for Yom Kippur. Our Gemara is teaching us that the only shoe that's considered a shoe is a leather shoe. A non-leather shoe is not considered a shoe, and that's why our minig is, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that any non-leather shoe may be worn on Yom Kippur. Although, there's a very interesting Ran. The Ran asks, we go back to this Gemara, the Gemara we learned at the beginning of the Shir, the shoe, what's part of the problem with a Kavik Iteya, with a non-leather shoe? Because it's considered a masui. Since it's not considered a shoe, it's not considered something a person wears. So, ena chanami on Yom Kippur, there is no problem of wearing a non-leather shoe, because it's not considered a shoe, but there's a problem that it's a masui. You're only allowed to wear clothing. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry. So how could somebody wear a non-leather shoe on Yom Kippur in a place where there's no Erev? Answers the Ran a Chiddush. The Ran says, on Yom Kippur, a non-leather shoe becomes a shoe, because that's the only shoe you're allowed to wear. And therefore, even though maybe on regular Shabbos, a non-leather shoe is not considered a garment, and therefore you're not allowed to wear it, on Yom Kippur, it becomes part of our uniform, and we're allowed to wear a non-leather shoe. The Gemara now begins to speak about a musgur and a mukhlit. We know there's a nega, there could be a nega on a home, there could be a nega on a garment. The halacha is of a certain discoloration on a garment. First, musgur. The kohen has it confined. If he comes back after a week and it's spread, that garment has to be burnt. If after a week it stayed, we confine it for another week. And then, if it still stayed, it has to be burnt. On a house, if there's a discoloration, after a week, it has to be, for a week it has to be confined. If again, after a week it comes back and it spread, the whole house has to be demolished. If not, only those stones have to be removed. Amra papi mishmei derava. Sandal hamuzgur. If you have a shoe that has this neg on it, lo tachlitzpa, v'chadchili you shouldn't use for chalitza, v'cholot chalitza fiksher, but the ever the chalitza is acceptable. Sandal hamuchlet, but once it was determined that it has the neg on it, loy tachlitz boy, you're not allowed to use it. The mcholtzoy, but if you did use it, chlitzos psula, it's disqualified. Why? Because now the Gemara is teaching us the halacha of ketusei mechdeshuri. Something that has to be burnt, the halacha says it doesn't exist. So since this mukhlet, the shoe that's mukhlet, has to be destroyed, so the halacha doesn't view it as it's in existence anymore. Rav Papa Mishmei, the Rav disagrees. He says, Echad sandal hamuzgur v'echad sandal hamukhlet, loy tachlitz boy, l'chatchilut should not be used for chalitza. However, v'mcholtzoy chalitzos ekshera, the chalitza is acceptable. L'chatchilut shouldn't be used, Mepharshim explained, because it's mos, it's something not nice, but with the evidence, since mitzvah is lav lehenes nitnu, and it's still considered in existence. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Brisa says, Bayis hamuzgar, a house that's confined, that it has a neger, metama metoichai. Mechlekes Rishonim, how to explain metama metoichai. Some say it only becomes tamei if one enters the house in a normal fashion. Others say if you touch the stones from inside the house. Muchlet, a house that's already been determined that it's a house with a neger, metoichai mecharef, becomes tamei, so both of you touch the stones inside the house, or if you touch the stones outside the house. Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean you touch the stones outside the house? Does it mean to touch the area where it is the nega, or any stone makes tummy? The zem is tamabia, if one enters it. Ask the Gemara, visakadaita. If the halach is telling us that something that's already been determined to be a mukhlet, kidem mechtes tummy, it's as if it no longer exists, vabina vabal abayis, vileka, it's not a house anymore. The halach uses it as it's demolished. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hosom Damakrov, and not as it's a bias. I feel Bashas Natitza, even though it has to be demolished, it's still called a bias. Kari bias. Toshma, matlas. If you have a piece of material, Shayesh by Sholosh Sholosh, that has in it the size of 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos, Abish ain't by Kazayas, even though by weight it doesn't have the shear of a Kazayas, like Rashi says, it's made out of very light material, Kivin Shenichnas Rubel Bayis Tar, once this material that has in it a nega comes into a house that's tar, tamasa. It makes the house tame. My laugh, muchletis. Aye, if it's muchletis, it's not in existence. Says the Gemara, loy. It's talking about musgeris. That this material was only confined, not identified to be burnt. If it weighs a number of zeisim, kivin shenichnas b'menei kezayis labayis, as soon as a kezayis worth a weight enters the house, tar. The bais tar, tamasa, makes a tamay. I'm bishlam mechletes. If we say that we're talking about a piece of material that's already been determined to have a nega, hayin the skishlam mace. We told the Torah by Miriam compares her to a mace. So you see, just like by a mace, a kezayis of a mace gives off tuma, so to a kezayis of a piece of material that's identified that it has a nega is considered like a mace. Eliamrit Musgeris, if we're talking only about a piece of material that's confined, not muchlet, amai iskish lameis, shani hasam, answer the Gemara again, domakrov. So again, we have the question, why is it an issue if it's not going to exist? It has to be burnt. Answers the Gemara, shani hasam domakrov, asarif asabeget. I feel b'shas reifa kari beget. The Torah calls it a beget even when it has to be burnt. Ask the Gemara, v'ligvamino, why don't we learn from Hilchos Tumah that something that's going to be burnt is still considered in existence, and the same thing we should say that the now, the shoe that has to be burnt, should still be considered in existence? Answers the Gemara, Ismet Tumah Lagamrinan. Tumah is a chiddush, as Rashi says, and we don't learn Hilchos Isser, what is considered a kosher shoe or not kosher shoe, from Tumah. And therefore, even though it's considered in existence, as far as Hilchos Tumah is concerned, it's not considered in existence as far as a shoe to be a good shoe to do chalitza with.